Hello, and welcome to The Wavelength, Avonhurst's global political strategy podcast. Every episode, we highlight a diverse range of emerging international developments and the potential effects on economies and societies. In the current global geopolitical climate, against the backdrop of constantly evolving political agendas, legislative and political risk seem more important than ever. Leading the conversation is Tina Fordham, our very own head of global political strategy, industry leader and Avonhurst partner. So, January 2021 has been an interesting time in politics. February looks set to continue this trend. Tina, why don't you start by giving us your views on what you call the geopolitical big three, China, Russia and Iran?
Well, thank you, Jamie. And the geopolitical big three, this is my term, sort of like the big five that you might see on a safari. I think that with the regime change in Washington, any changes in policy with regard to these countries are probably front of mind for most investors. But it might surprise you to hear that I don't think we should expect very much in terms of a change in U.S. policy. Even though, of course, in rhetoric, in terms of the type of expertise that we now have at the head of the U.S. State Department and elsewhere, the tone is markedly different. If we look at the substance of what we're hearing out of the new U.S. administration with regard to China, for example, it's still tough talk. And that was something that I was advising Avonhurst clients of before. We'd have a new sort of approach to engaging with the regime in China. But in actual fact, it's already been pretty clearly signaled that there wouldn't be a change in, for example, U.S. tariffs on China. What is positive, having said that, about U.S.-China relations is, I think, an end to the containment strategy, which annoyed Beijing very much. And I think it is going to be more of what I have called the frenemies approach. So competition, certainly, tough competition when it comes to economic side of things, but cooperation, crucially, on the climate change agenda. And that's probably the most important breakthrough that we've seen on that side. So U.S.-China, that relationship will generate less volatility. It was, of course, the main source of volatility for financial markets, but still is going to be quite tough. And that isn't going to change in the next 2 years or 20 years, it seems to me. If we move on to Russia, there we have seen a shift in tone. The president spoke to Putin and registered concerns, for example, about the reaction to the big street protests in a number of Russian cities around the arrest of Alexei Navalny. Again, sanctions policy isn't likely to change very much. So investors looking for a shift that would meaningfully impact economic interaction between either Russia or China are not likely to see a big change in trend there. I do think that the U.S. administration will be tougher on Russia, certainly, than the Trump administration. But there's sort of, you know, that's not a big economic relationship. That is much more about geopolitics. At the same time, again, when it comes to cooperations and that frenemies idea, the U.S. and Russia are re-engaging on the SALT talks. And that goes back to the Cold War era. It's the kind of bilateral relationship that Putin likes, puts U.S. and Russia on sort of equal footing, and relates to the nuclear relations. So that, you know, in each case, we do have areas of cooperation as well as competition or a tougher stance. On Iran, Iran has been hit particularly hard by the pandemic in terms of deaths and hardship on the population. In a sense, it's arguable whether further sanctions would really result in any changes in behavior from Tehran. But we've heard already from the Biden administration that a return to the JCPOA agreement on the nuclear program immediately isn't in the cards. So there's going to be more back and forth on that one. And that, of course, is what's coming from official policy. I would also flag, and this is on our wall of worry for 2021, that one of the biggest risks for the new administration is a geopolitical surprise, perhaps coming in the big three or from the big three, but perhaps coming from somewhere else.
And what are your thoughts on the US? How much energy do you think Biden is going to add to things now?
Well, like with most countries, you know, presidents, political leaders are elected really not on the back of their global and foreign policy agenda, but of course what they're going to do domestically. And so naturally, investors are focused on the potential changes in U.S. policy and risks that might impact the market. But Biden won the election in the midst of one of the biggest, public health and economic crises of the last 100 years. So his focus has been very clear for the first 100 days, which is the big benchmark for U.S. presidents, to focus on the vaccine rollout and get the stimulus passed. And the progress is really happening in that direction. My own parents in California have had their first jab. I hear in other states, older people have had their second jabs, and that's almost starting from scratch. So that is a first step, a necessary first step to reopening the U.S. economy, but so is getting those stimulus checks out. There's been an interesting debate in the economic policy world, including from Democratic heavyweights like former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, about the size of the stimulus and what impact it might have on overheating inflation. That's probably the number one economic policy matter for investors this year. But Biden is committed to those large checks going out, perhaps with some means testing, although that's very hard to actually affect, but to as part of a kind of an aid package for Americans. Most U.S. presidents start out with a domestic agenda, and then events, dear boy, pull them back out onto the global stage. And that, you know, leads to the point I made about an external shock, a geopolitical challenge being the thing to watch for, perhaps more than a pronounced U.S. change on the foreign policy agenda.
Tina, you've been very vocal on the subject of the erosion of public trust in government during the global pandemic. How do you think that's going to play out across the next round of elections that we can see on the horizon?
Well, it's absolutely true that the sharp decline in public trust in all institutions, right, in government, in media, and in business, had actually accelerated the rise of populism after the global financial crisis and the Eurozone crisis. And the pandemic accelerated that. But what's interesting is that when we look on a more granular level at how that's played out, we can see, for example, in countries like the UK, where the death toll was among the highest per capita in the world, that the government's success in the vaccine rollout, which really requires a different set of strengths and capacity, has earned it plaudits from the public. So how populations kind of internalize and experience government capacity and government performance is a huge leading indicator when it comes to prospects for re-election or not. Now, I'm arguing that even though most economists and certainly markets are expecting a big second half boost when things return to normal, that there's likely to be a lagging effect in terms of how populations experience the recovery, especially if you're unlucky enough to be employed in a sector that isn't coming back, where the pandemic has accelerated its demise, or indeed if you're an unlucky person who's had family members or others that have been lost to the pandemic. So there is definitely going to be a political hangover. In terms of elections that are coming up, well, we have Germany this autumn where, you know, exactly as discussed, the government was regarded with pretty much high praise from German voters for performance in the first and the second waves, but the slowness of Germany's vaccine rollout and the wider EU could be a problem. And of course, we're looking at Angela Merkel after several terms as the German chancellor, not in the running anymore. So whilst it's still not completely open, it may be that German voters want to experiment. And in Germany, I think the Greens are actually in pole position. One of the things to watch is public acceptance of taking the vaccine and how they rate the EU's performance in rolling that out. So Germany coming up will very much be in focus. In Italy, because of the peculiarities of the Italian system, we've actually seen a government that could have collapsed and led to an early election, actually leading to the appointment of another technocratic government led by former ECB chief Mario Draghi, aka Super Mario. That's been an enormously market-friendly result, really averting what could have been a disaster, given the extent of Italian indebtedness and BTPs. But many are suggesting that it's an undemocratic outcome. For now, it means that Italy, which has suffered badly from the pandemic as well as has major economic challenges, is not on our worry list when it comes to elections.
And that certainly makes sense for the elections that feel like they're quite close. How important is it, do you think, to look a little bit further down the line at those elections that might be a little bit further away? And how important is it to keep an eye on those?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, markets will be focused on Germany. I think we'll be able to carry on with this Italian government for a while. But this political hangover from the pandemic isn't going to stop at the end of 2021. I believe it's going to affect the whole next election cycle. And so that means 2022, we are back to another round of U.S. elections. Yes, they're every 2 years, not every four, because we have U.S. midterms. And historically, in a case like we currently have in America, where Democrats control the White House, and very narrowly both chambers of Congress, they tend to get dealt a bloody nose when it comes to midterms. So Republicans, and this explains a lot about how the calibration is going with the current trial in the Senate over Trump's impeachment, are really looking ahead to 2022, and history tells us that they have a very good reason for doing that, because there's a good chance that they could do very well in U.S. midterms. The other election that I'm concerned about and that we'll be monitoring closely is France. France comes in 2022, and when it comes to those risk factors of low public trust, a tough experience with the pandemic, as well as the highest levels in Europe, frankly, of vaccine hesitancy, France could really be the test case for the pandemic's political effect in a crucial European economy. And that will happen toward the end of the first half of 2022. And we'll be looking at how public opinion moves between now and then very closely.
That was The Wavelength. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Avonhurst, you can find us at www.avonhurst.com. And we look forward to welcoming you next time.